Go ahead and stand, get started off with a song, page 258.
If you're glad he's alive, say amen.
Amen.
If you know he's alive, look at your neighbor and say, I know he's alive. Man, I'm glad, thank God, you can be seated this morning. It's wonderful to be here for Easter Sunday. I want to thank you so much for being here. I want to welcome every single guest and visitor, our people, of course. And again, I want to thank those for tuning in by way of live stream. Many said they'd be tuning in this morning. What a wonderful day. And I thank the Lord that Jesus is alive. We have no other reason to be gathered here this morning except for the fact that Jesus lives. And I'm glad if you know him this morning, not only is he seated at the right hand of the Father alive and well today, but he's seated in my heart. If you know him this morning, that old song says, you ask me how I know he lives within my heart. I'm glad I'm saved this morning. And I hope if you're not saved that you will be by the time you leave his service this morning. Excited about what the Lord's going to do. Pray for the choir this morning as they sing. Want to look to the Lord just for a moment in prayer and thank God for his grace. Brother Clay, would you stand there and ask God to bless this service this morning and the furtherance of it, then the choir will sing.
Before the choir starts, I want to just thank the Lord for saving my soul this morning. And I was over here singing Friday night. I got a text, seven-year-old grandson got saved Friday night. And brought me back to my memory. I got saved at 6 years old. Whenever the Lord deals with your heart, that's when you need to come. It don't matter what age you are. That's when you need to come and accept Jesus Christ. This morning as we sing, I just want you to try to get everything out of your mind except Jesus Christ this morning and what we're singing about. Just listen to the words of the song. Let God deal with your heart this morning.
Arise. Christ is hand of mercy, I hear his voice of cheer, and just in time I need him, he's always clear. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me, I'm on my spare away. He lives, salvation clear and bright.
You can be seated this morning. I want to give you an opportunity to worship the Lord through giving. And I pray most of all this morning that we'll give him the attention that he deserves this morning. And I pray that we'd just still ourselves and quiet ourselves for a little while. If you need something from the Lord, I'm confident this morning he can help you with it. He can provide it for you. If you need saving, he can save. If you need encouragement, he can encourage. If you need speaking to, he can speak to you. If you need help, he can help you. If you need life, he can give life. If you need comfort, he can comfort you. I'm glad when he ascended that day, he said, I will not leave you comfortless. And so we're looking forward to the service this morning. Thank the Lord. We'll give you the opportunity to worship the Lord through giving. Be obedient to him. Brother Jack, pray over this offering if you would. Brother, ask the Lord to help this service, and we'll seek him in it. Thank you, brother. Go ahead.
He said, I have the victory. You said you'd come to save. Oh, but now you're in the grave.
But very early that third morn, before the dawn had come, demons danced around, chanting, Satan, you have won. But God, in all of his greatness, stood up from the throne.
Again, I say, if you're glad he's alive, say amen this morning. Thank the Lord for the living Christ. He's not dead. Oh, Muhammad's dead. Buddha's dead. Gandhi's dead. But there's one that is not dead, that has an empty tomb this morning. And that is Jesus Christ. I thank God that he is the Son of God and he is God's Son. John chapter 20 this morning, thank you so much for the singing. Wonderful, beautiful, and we want to thank you for that. I have a message on my heart this morning. I pray the Lord would us give it to you. And I want to thank you so much for being in God's house. What a wonderful crowd. And thank you for bringing your family and investing all the money that you did in the clothing industry in America to get here. It's a blessing. So good to see everybody smiling and dressed and wonderful to be in God's house. Thank you so much. I'll say this just as a by note real quick. Thank you so much for your prayers for our family this past week. And much we could say about that, but we want to take an opportunity. Thank you, church. And we're so grateful for the Lord and Resurrection Sunday. We're grateful for the resurrection. If Christ had not have risen, there would be no hope for a resurrection. This would be as good as it gets. But because he got up out of that grave, because he stood up, because death could not bind him, because the grave could not keep him. That it didn't make a difference whether the Pharisees, Sadducees, Caiaphas, Pilate, Herodias, any of them fellows, Caesar Augustus himself, the ruler of the entire world. It didn't make a difference what he had to say about it. He got up of his own power and his own volition. Satan could not keep him. And I'm glad he's alive today. John chapter 20, we'll read 18 verses, one of my most favorite stories in all the Word of God, verses 1 through 18. If you found your place, say amen. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, into the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. And she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. Peter was a real Baptist. He wasn't really in shape, was he? Verse 5, and he stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre. That's in true Simon Peter fashion. No shame, no bashfulness, no timidness. Nah, wherever Simon Peter went, he blew up and when he blew in. And he blew out when he went. Bible says this, and he went into the sepulchre and seeth the linen clothes lie. Verse 7, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciple went away again unto their own home. Verse number 11, here's our text this morning. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre. Everybody's gone now. It's just Mary. And so she thinks that. She wept, the Bible tells us in verse number 11, and by herself, she had to see for herself. She stooped down and looked into the sepulchre. In verse 12, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, say it with me, church, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni. Which is to say, I like this, Master. Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Verse 18, Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. After the reading of the word, let's all say amen. Amen. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the truth of your word. We thank you for what's here. I pray this morning, Father, that you would have your will and your way in this place. Lord, I cannot preach except you aid and help and empower and give unction. But I want to thank you for all the wonderful singing this morning. Thank you for the choir, how you touched them to sing. Father, thank you for the specials, Lord. Thank you for the testimony we've heard thus far this morning, the prayers that's been given, the offering that we've taken up. And as we come to this most sacred text in Scripture, Father, we ask that you would do for us what we cannot do, and that is reveal to us. And we pray much like you spoke to Mary, Father, speak our name. I ask you, Father, this morning that you would, Lord, do something special in this place. Father, I pray that you would do what only you can do as you do it. Father, Lord, and it can only be done by the living Savior. Father, today in many places, Lord, they are worshiping false deities, dead gods. Father, Lord, and they speak alone and they speak by themselves and they speak with no power and no authority. But Father, I pray by the authority of the Word of God and by the unction that only the Spirit of God that can give the unction. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to speak, Lord, and get out of the way. And Lord, Father, let Jesus speak to hearts this morning. It was to be nothing more than a minister of Christ. And whatsoever you see fit to do, we'll thank you, Lord. For it's in Jesus' name we do humbly pray. The name that is above every name, the name that every knee should bow at, the name of Jesus who is alive and alive forevermore. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church said, I studied this week and last night vehemently on this subject. Here's my notes. The reality of his resurrection. And I had 7 points this morning that I was going to submit to you and make a case to you the reality that he is alive. It's not a fairy tale. It's not an article in Time magazine. Jesus is not man of the year. He's man of the universe. And this story of the resurrection is not just some symbolic gesture that the church makes. We affirm he is alive. We do not gather to discuss his moral tenets, although they're wonderful and perfect and in place and proper. We do not gather just to speak a Sermon on the Mount about a great historical figure who spoke wonderful things, although they are wonderful, although they are perfect, or although they are direction-giving. But we gather this morning as the church, as we have gathered for over 2,000 years to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. We do not do this because it's just habit, although sometimes it can be habit. And we do not do this just because we're supposed to do this, although we are supposed to do this. And we do not do this just because it's proper to do this, or grandmother done it, or our great-grandmother done it, or their great-grandparents done it, and their great-grandparents before them. Beloved, we gather because on the third day and the first day of the week, Jesus got up out of the grave, and we celebrate every week the fact that he is not dead, he's alive and alive forevermore. I say praise his holy name. And I had 7 points that I was going to give you this morning of verifiable evidence that he is alive. And if you still want them after the service this morning, I'll make copies of them for you. But this morning I arose, I woke up and Got out of bed early thinking on the resurrection. And I began to think about another woman who approached a first day of the week much like you and I have today. I began to think about this woman, Mary Magdalene. And I'm preaching, and I'll be done in just a moment, on this subject when things haven't turned out quite like you expected. So we're preaching on this morning when things haven't turned out quite like you expected. Now, Mary Magdalene, Jesus had changed her life. How many of you can say this morning, Jesus has changed my life? Bless the Lord, He changed my life when the day He saved me from the inside out. He changed the direction of my life because I once was heading in a direction that did not make any sense, but He changed my life and gave me purpose and reason and design. That's what He did for Mary. He cast devils out of her. She had given her life to the Lord. When she came to the Lord, she was full of many devils and full of many spirits, but Christ Jesus cast them all out of her. And I'm glad this morning that Jesus is still in the devil casting out business. And I tell you what, we've got a lot of them in Washington, D.C., don't we, this morning? And listen, this morning, it's not a political figure that we need. It's not a new senator we need. It's not a new congressman we need. A new representative. A new court judge. It's not a new president we need, but it's the risen Jesus that we need working in Washington, D.C. And let me go ahead and affirm to the whole congregation this morning, this is not Transgender Awareness Day. We celebrate the day that Jesus rose from the grave. And thank God, if you are trans, homosexual, or straight, I'm glad Jesus saves to the uttermost. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. And Mary had had devils cast out of her. Jesus had saved her soul. But as a result of the culture that Mary Magdalene was in, this society would want nothing to do with Mary. So now by the time we get to John chapter number 20, she has followed this man. She had invested everything in her. The scripture teaches us in Mark that she gave of her sustenance. Mary had invested everything in this walk of life. She had invested everything in following Jesus. She had given her all, her life, her future, her plans, her investments were all in one person. And now that person was dead. And how many of you have invested what part of your life that you have given to the Lord and plans and trusted Him and had faith in Him? But things have just not turned out quite like you expected. She came to anoint His body on the third day, John 20 tells us. Why did she come and do it on the third day? Well, if you'll remember, Lazarus, as the Lord went to raise him from the dead, he had been dead how many days? Four. And the women said, Lord, by now he stinketh. You see, they didn't have embalming techniques and abilities to preserve bodies in these days. So what they would do is they would anoint the body so that they could put off the stinking or the corruption as long as they could. And Mary had said goodbye to the Lord Jesus Christ, and she was at the foot of the cross when the Lord gave His last breath up and gave in and said, Father, into Thy hands I commend my spirit. She was there, and she wept, and she cried. Day one, night one, they place His body in the ground.
and she is broken. But yet still she had nowhere to go because she had given all of her life to this man. They too still know where to go. But beloved, I want to ask you this. How many of us have been in the same condition spiritually where we feel like we've done what we're supposed to do, follow the Lord, sought the Lord, had faith in the Lord, but now it seems like our plans have been derailed. And here we are saying to ourselves, well, things just haven't quite turned out like I expected. She came to anoint the body of Jesus. Now, little did she know that the body of Jesus needed no anointing. Amen. He was alive. But that's many times like you and I. We'll get so anxious. We'll get so discouraged. We'll get so filled with care and worry and anxiety trying to control things in our own power when God's already got it worked out. But yet in such an anxious state and in such an anxious society, we feel as though we must handle everything. But child of God, little did Mary know that in this state of a broken heart that she came to the garden in, Christ had already handled her situation. Some of you are thinking, Brother Jay, I've got a big problem this morning. Things hadn't turned out quite exactly like I expected them to. But you don't even know that the Lord has already handled the situation. Verse number 11, but Mary stood without. Everybody's left her. Everybody's gone. Everybody's went their direction. Everybody's doing their thing. Everybody's left Mary. What can anybody else do for her? Nobody else can do anything for her. Nobody else has got any money. They spend it all following Jesus. Nobody else has got a house. The Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head, Jesus said. Nobody's got a help fund, a GoFundMe.com. They can start for Mary Magdalene. She had came and brought ointments. This was the last that she had that she had brought them to anoint the Lord Jesus Christ. And so now there's no more use for the ointments. The crowds have scattered. The disciples are in hiding. The Bible says in verse number 11, and Mary stood without. Everybody had a plan but Mary. Everybody had somewhere to go but Mary. Everybody had a second course, a recourse. Of course, the Bible tells this about some of the disciples that after the Lord had raised again, that Peter says, I go fishing. Plan B, parachute cord. And the first parachute didn't work, so they're going to pull out parachute C, that emergency one, Brother Leo, that nobody wants to open, right? But Mary had no plan B. Mary had nothing she could fall back on. Mary had nothing that she could reach into her a retirement account and pull a little bit off the 401k. And yes, she might get taxed on it, but she'll be able to live till next week. No, she didn't have that. She stood without, by herself, isolated, or so she thought. But I'll tell you this morning, sometimes it's so difficult, even when you know the Scripture, you know the Word of God, you know what He said, you know what He's spoken, you know that He said in 3 days I'll rise again, but yet you still stand without occasionally. Am I preaching to anybody this morning? And you look around and everybody's got a plan. Everybody's got things going on. Everybody's going off for spring break. Everybody's got happiness. Everybody's bought a new car. Everybody's got a new job. Everybody's healthy and happy and at home. But you're standing in a tomb without, and everything you've ever known and everything you've ever loved is dead. Is anybody listening? They've taken him away, she said. In verse number 13, and they say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? So in verse number 11, Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping. She wept. She stooped down and looked in the sepulcher and seeth two angels in white, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, because they have taken away my Lord. In verse number 13, they've taken away my Lord and I don't know where to find him. Where will I go? What am I going to do? And matter of fact, she had bought into a lie. Because as they had been discussing for days, you know, the disciples are together. What are we going to do? What's going to happen? Where are we going to go from here? You know, somebody may try to steal his body, et cetera, et cetera. And she said, I'm confident that someone has stole and taken away his body. She had bought in to a lie. And children of God, may I remind you that Jesus Christ had already spoken to his disciples several times, but because they could not see the truth, they did not remember the truth. He had told them time upon time upon time upon time again that he would die and that 3 days later he would rise again. But here she sits saying that somebody stole the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't be too hard on Mary. We've heard the preaching time and time again. We've sang the songs time and time again. We've testified time and time again. But yet, Brother Josh, we stand here without believing a lie. That's what Satan will do in your life. He'll take that truth that God has sown in there that you know to be true. He'll take the word of God that he's put in your heart and he'll cause you to believe a lie. They've taken him. They've taken him. Oh my. Verse 14. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. She knew not that it was Jesus. Well, how is that so? She had followed him for years. She knew his face. But it was so beyond the realm of belief that Jesus was alive, because with her own eyes, Brother Jeff, she had seen Jesus Christ take his last breath. And I'm telling you, sometimes you know that God is God. You know that he is who he said he was. But sometimes life teaches you things and you'll believe them before you believe God. And she was unaware. And she was unaware that it was Christ. And how many times in your life, in my life, when God is working, when God is not just working in a small way, he's working in a big way, but we're completely unaware of what he's doing. Completely unaware of what he's doing. This wasn't just some small thing. This was redemption's plan. But she was unaware that it was Jesus. You say, oh, Brother Jay, that's crazy. But all this morning, we're just like Sister Mary. We've seen God work. We've seen his miracles. We've seen what he can do. We've seen God save. We've seen God heal. We've seen God provide. We've watched him work. We know his ways, Brother Marty. We've seen what he can do, what he will do. We've heard him speak. We know what he's capable of. But yet life will turn around and treat you to a fresh plate of a lesson that burns going down, and you'll start questioning God and if he's even alive. A corpse of a Jesus. That would be a good message. Preaching on the Jesus corpse syndrome. Oh, yes, we believe in Jesus, but in reality, we believe in a dead Jesus. One that's unable, one that's incapable, one that's lifeless. And that's the lie that Satan was selling to Mary, was that her Jesus was dead, that he was lifeless, and he was sitting in a grave. And someone had stole his body. Listen now, and we're done. Jesus saith unto her, "Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou?" Now get this. And let me before we move on from verse 15, Jesus said to her, "What woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou?" Let me ask you this question this morning. What are you looking for? She, supposing him to be the gardener in verse number 15, said unto him, "Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away." You see, the garden tomb, it was not a graveyard like we have here behind the church. The garden tomb is a beautiful, beautifully situated garden where all sorts of a variety of flowers. A rich man had owned this place. Joseph of Arimathea owned this place. It was a sepulcher for himself. And it was tended to, and it was cared for, and the weeds were trimmed, and the grass was taken care of, and the flowers were pruned, and the bushes were hedged, and the mulch was laid out, so to speak. A beautiful garden. And inside this garden was a tomb of death. And Mary looked at him, and supposing him to be the gardener, supposing him just to be someone who takes care of the cemetery, supposing him to be an agent of death. Are you hearing me? And sometimes you and I, there would be those that would stand up and comfort you and I, but they speak to us as though they're just agents of death. More death, more death, more death, more death. Now listen, I'm done. She supposed him to be the caretaker of the garden, when in fact the man that was speaking to her was the caretaker of the universe. She supposed that he was there to trim back the verge. But at the very verge of the universe, this man was keeping the stars burning, Sister Bobby. The Bible says that Jesus upholds all things by the word of his power. She supposed that he was there to trim the roses back. Little did she know the man speaking to her was keeping her heart beating. She said, "Sir, if thou had borne him thence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away." Now, I love this. One word. That's all it takes. Jesus saith unto her, "Mary." Now listen, I love when things get stirred up in the house of God. I love when we worship. I love when we exalt Christ. I love when folks get to pray. But I tell you what encourages my soul is when Jesus speaks to me in particular and calls my name. How many of you have been in the depths of despair and it seems like he's doing something in everybody else's life, but then he calls your name? Hallelujah. Wow. He first appeared, what the Bible says. He first appeared, Brother Lloyd, to Mary. He could have appeared to James and John, Matthew, Mark. He could have appeared to to the other Judas. He could have appeared to any of the disciples. He could have went and appeared to Herod and Pilate, who sentenced him to death. And he said, hey, I bet you thought you had it on me, bucko. Look at me now. Check me out. I was dead. You tried to kill me. You didn't kill me. I laid my life down. I'm alive again. I don't know about you, but I would have went to Pilate, Herod, Julius Caesar, President Biden, Donald Trump, Obama, and any other of them jacklegs that's still alive. I'd have went to them and said, hey, you tried to kill me, but you couldn't because you said and asked the question, am I the Son of God? And I said, thou sayest, I am he that was dead, but I'm alive forevermore. Now, that's what I would have done. But I want you to notice something in verse number 17. Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father and to my God and to your God. Y'all want to hear what that said one more time? Let's just make sure we hear it one more time. Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. Now get this for a little minute. This poor misunderstanding. I mean, I can't read anywhere that she had a husband. I don't see it in Scripture. It's not there. I'm not going to make the assumption that she didn't, but all I can tell you is the Bible doesn't say that she had a husband. I do know in this story, she was alone. And she was without, Brother Jack. And I do know from previous Scriptures that she had given everything she had of her substance to give to Jesus so that the work of Christ and the disciples could go forward. She had invested everything in this God, in this Jesus, in this Messiah. I do know that she stood alone. I do know that she had went to tell Peter and John, and they ran to the sepulchre and they left her by herself. I do know that the other women had already went to the other disciples to say he is gone. I do know that she was by herself. And what else do I know is that when Jesus rose from the grave, that he was going to ascend back to the Father to finish redemption's work. I do know that. And was going to carry that blood, Brother Terry, and set it down on the mercy seat and make atonement for me and every other and you and every other soul that would ever believe. Listen to me now. Jesus Christ was going to carry on redemption's work. But little Mary was hurting. And little Mary was broken. Y'all remember them old VCRs? You don't remember. You don't remember cassettes either, do you? Does anybody in here remember A-track tapes? Whew, I'm outnumbered here this morning. I bet half of y'all don't even know what MP3s are. And we don't even use those anymore. You want to know what the Lord did on redemption's plan? Just for a moment. Brother Vickers, he pressed pause. And this little gal who was hurt and broken and misunderstood and had believed the lies of Satan and had looked back and things had not turned out just like she thought they would. He pressed the pause button and said, I'm gonna go down here and speak her name before I ascend. You see, by the time it gets back around to the disciples and Thomas, you know, puts his hand in the Lord's side, touches and feels Christ eats, he's already ascended, took the sacrifice, stood before the Father. Listen. But here, he was completely fresh off resurrection and had not ascended. And in this perfect, completely undefiled state, just like he had always been, but in this body, this resurrected body, he stops for a moment, Brother Clay, and goes to her and says, Mary. And I'll tell you what, you may think that he's too busy for you and that he's got bigger things to do and that he's encouraging everybody else. But beloved, he'll stop the whole universe to encourage your soul. He'll put it all on pause. When things haven't turned out quite like you expected, do you hear his voice saying your name this morning? When things haven't went exactly, see, they thought that he was going to take over. They saw no cross. They saw no cat o' nine tails. What they saw was a Messiah who would sit on the throne of David and rule and reign. But things hadn't turned out just quite like they thought they should, like they expected. And now their Savior is dead. But bless his holy name, he stands in the garden today speaking her name. And I'll tell you furthermore, this morning he stands here today from the blessed pages of his holy word speaking every single name in this building this morning. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Now here was my sermon for this morning. And this morning, here's what the Lord gave me. Two sides of a sheet of paper. I believe this morning, I'm convinced that God, that Christ is speaking someone's name. I don't know if you're saved and you're discouraged and you're downcast. I don't know if you're lost and have never been saved and never met the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm telling you this morning, Jesus Christ is alive and he's speaking your name. He lives. He's not a dead Savior. We don't serve a dead Christ. No, he lives this morning. Ever making intercession for us. At the right hand of the throne of God. Now I wonder, this one that's called your name, do you need to speak to him this morning? Do you need to talk to him? The musicians are coming. Brother Terry's coming with the song. Sister Megan, come on. And I wonder today, do you need to just sit in the garden on your knees and respond to this Savior? Let's all stand around the building, every head bowed, every eye closed. You may just need to let him hear you say your name. Hear him say your name. And I tell you what she did. She responded to him and said, Master. That means one that is in control. That means the one who runs the show, Brother Jack. That means the one that is all-powerful, Master. And may I say to you, he is the Master. And he's the Master of your life. And he's the Master of your storm. And he's the Master of your situation. And lost sinner friend, this morning, if you'll let him be, he'll be the Master of your salvation. You say, Brother Jay, things just haven't turned out quite like I expected. That may be your statement, but you want to know what a statement of fact is this morning? Things are turning out just like he wants them to. He is the Master. I wonder this morning, In the stillness of this invitation, I want to give you an opportunity to leave your pew and say, Lord, I'm not the master. I don't know how things should go, but I trust you, Rabboni. I trust you, Master. I trust you, Savior. I trust you, Jesus. Have your way in my life. And if you're here lost this morning, I pray that you would say, yes, Lord, have your will. Save my soul. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Say with Peter. Brother Terry, as these are coming, sing for us, brother. It's your opportunity now. Slip out of the altar and come pray if you need to.
Softly and